I'm here this morning with my dear friend Brad Warren, who comes to our church as an elder here and a dad of plenty. Is that fair for me to say? Dad of plenty.
I'm still emotionally dealing with the dear friend title. That makes me feel so good inside.
A dad of plenty sounds like a card that you would get in Settlers of Catan. Year of plenty, dad of plenty.
I do have plenty. It feels like I have plenty of children.
But the reason why I brought up your dadliness is, one, you're a good dad, but three of Brad's kids come to our middle school group here, and they're just fun.
The other one's not old enough.
He's not old enough.
It's not like he chooses not to.
He's like, nah, screw that. I don't like that tall guy who runs that thing. Do y'all do jiu-jitsu, correct?
Taekwondo.
Damn.
Yeah, it's all right.
It was
the foxes do jiu-jitsu.
The foxes do. Well, okay, whatever. There's no need to justify myself. I was just wrong. I play a game very regularly in our church with them, which is walking kickball, but you play with a beach ball. And it's pretty raucous. Like, there's 20 middle schoolers playing kickball. And one of my favorite things is pitching, because like three times a game, I'll just get hit in the face with the ball really hard. I'm like, oh. But we were playing that game, whatever, in my dream, because it had just happened. And I look over, and your son Adam, who is not actually in our middle school group,
right,
had Nathan Reeser, who's another kid in our middle school group, wrapped around the armpits, and Nathan's body was completely limp. And I look over, and Bess is just shaking her head, and she's like, he just got too close to me. I told him I was going to do it, and he got too close to me. And what had happened was Bess just knocked him out straight up. Like, Bess used her taekwondo, and just, I mean, he was just, and I was watching Adam, who's significantly smaller than Nathan, dragging his body away. And I, like, it was one of those things where, like, for those of you who know Bess, she's very comfortable and confident in who she is.
Yes.
And she knew she had done no wrong. Nathan didn't do anything except, like, he just was too close to her. And Bess was like, I guess she had warned him and he'd done it. So. And it was amazing.
So I told her about this and she laughed and laughed and laughed. And then she said, I could probably do it too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Bess could do that to me.
She's a skilled fighter and she's very flexible.
Yeah. I have seen her, like, practice doing multiple kicks in one. Where she'll do that, like, it feels like a thing that you see in a movie where somebody like goes up on one leg and then uses their foot to like smack somebody in the face multiple times. But I've seen her practice that.
Yeah, she's like, very, very flexible.
How do you do that?
She's a skilled fighter and she's found her aggression.
Yeah, okay.
I'm happy my daughter has her.
Do you watch Stranger Things by chance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's like, she has like her thought that is like, that she can hone in her telepathic powers with. Is that what it is, her aggression?
Sure.
Is it like one thought?
I don't know. You didn't ask her.
One day that you're
where her chi,
her brother's her chi. Speaking of chi, Gary Stevens used to like tiny punch me and be like, "That's gonna hurt you for a while because of my chi." Do we believe in that around here?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't technically know what chi is.
Can I tell you a Gary Stevens story?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so Gary texts me one day, and he says, "I'm in South Carolina." And I just went to church, and the pastor had your sense of humor, and had and all your mannerisms. And then he ends it with, "It was creepy." And I think you meant like it was creepy how much he looked like.
Right, right, right.
But because of my relationship with Gary, I just texted him back, and I was like, so my mannerisms are creepy.
Yeah, you think I'm creepy? You've never told me this?
That's right. And he got such a kick out of that.
Yeah, of course he did.
That's who Gary is.
Yeah,
that's
Gary. Gary is a friend of ours who goes to this church and has, I would say once a month, he and I lock eyes in the middle of a service and he just rolls his eyes at me. And I'm like,
okay. He's got that sense of humor.
Yeah, I think his son-in-law listens to our show. But welcome to Ancient New. If you've listened to our show for a while, Brad has done many one-off episodes for us.
That's right. Yeah. I did Ancient and New before you did Ancient.
Yeah, you did. I don't know when I started doing this. I think it was 2016 maybe. But yeah. Welcome back.
Thanks, buddy.
We're glad you're here. Lee, well, as we're recording this, Lee is currently in the city that we're in, but when this comes out, he will be on a different continent.
That's
so
right.
I called
him. España.
España. One time we did a show there. It was amazing. But I wanted to get Brad in here because one, he's super wise and super smart. And I'm looking you in the eyes as I say this, but I'm speaking to other people about you. So it's super interesting. This is a audio medium, so no one knows what's going on.
That's right. But you just let them see behind.
Yeah, I'm letting them see behind the curtain. Do you want to kick us off with what you got?
Yeah,
spiritually.
Yeah, I'll talk.
Speaking from the Bible,
and you know, because you've been through this, and we've talked about this. Like, I've shared my heart with you on it, but like, it was a tough spring for me, and I was going through some stuff. Right.
Yeah.
That was really, really hard, and so part of the way I've dealt with that is I've been reading through the Psalms on it, and some of them have been uncomfortable because some of the difficult people I've had to deal with and whatever, like, I still didn't want them to, like, have to choke on their own teeth.
Right, right.
Which is something that the Psalms talks about. Because I wasn't that mad at them. But I've been trying to find, you know, like, what is it that God has for me in that? And where's the comfort in it? Because the Psalms are great about expressing yourself and then trying to find your comfort and your right mindset about Christ. So one of the ones I found that has been resonating with me a little bit is Psalm 103.
Beautiful. And I love this one.
It's a great psalm, right? It starts, and it has a lot of stuff that we write songs about.
Yes.
Right? Like it has, he's slow to anger and abounding in love. You know, you'd put that in a praise song. And then it's got as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us, right? Yeah. That's in one we sing all the time.
Yes.
And as far as the east is from the west, so he's removed our sins from us, right? Yeah. These are I mean it's full as the kids say, of bangers.
Of bangers, yeah. It's nothing but bangers.
That's a word I learned from Thomas.
That's a Lauren Roberts, who's also a friend of our show and has done episodes before, when they got married in 2014, her and Tyler, they sat down with the DJ beforehand, and the DJ was like, okay, I'm feeling this and this for the songs. And Lauren was just like, close that book, nothing but bangers. And he was like, okay, but what about, like, you know, those old classics? And she said, nothing but bangers. That's all we want. Hype all the time. It's amazing. Great story.
Okay, so, but what struck me about Psalm 103 as I was reading it was something that we don't really write songs about. And so let me read a section of it here.
What verse are you going to be?
This is in Psalm 103, starting in verse 13.
Okay,
so this is right after, as far as the east is from the west, so he has removed for our transgressions from us. Yep. Okay, it says this. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. Okay, I'm going to go on from there, but I want to stop there and say, we don't write a lot of songs about that.
We don't, no.
Numbering our days because we're dust and we're just like flowers that are going to blow away.
Right.
And yeah, so I have a few more gray hairs than you.
Just a few.
I have more gray hairs than Lee does. Like, I have the advantage of being older and not as cool.
I can't wait to have gray hair. I mean, I have like patches, but I want to be gray.
I don't mind it, right? But so I'm a little bit older than you. But I want to point out too, as I talk about like all my old man stuff, that I got laughed at by Bobby Wittes on Sunday because I'd said something about that. And he,
it was in front of me. I watched that.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. And he reminded me that he's as much older than me as you. I am of you. So it's all relative. But I'm at a point in my life where I think about like my plans and my ambitions that I've had and that I do have, and I come to the realization that like time's going to run out on all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And Molly and I talk all the time about we wish we had additional lives to do all of the cool things there are.
Yeah.
Like one of the times I thought about, I was up in the Smokies hiking, and I come along this, you know, big limestone boulder, and in the middle of it is just this vein of quartz. There's this line of quartz that goes across.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And it makes me think, like, I wish I had time to go learn and understand the geology of that, you know? I wanted to work for NASA, you know? I'm never going to do that now, you know?
But you do have really cool thoughts about, like, mining in space and stuff like that.
Yeah. And we could do a whole podcast about it. I think not a Bible study podcast. Maybe we should.
It's fine.
Like, back on task.
We can do what we want.
You know, there's so many places I want to travel in the world, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure that I'm going to have time to do it because I'm limited. I just only have so much time. I'm temporary. And then I think about like mistakes that I've made and how I wish I could redo things. I wish I could go back in time and love people better than I did.
Yeah.
You know, looking back on it. And I hope that I'm better at that now than I used to be. And that the time I have left, I'll do better with it. But still, it's all that stuff. Like, there's only so much time. We're temporary. We're limited. All that sort of thing. And the fact that that's enshrined in Scripture is great, and that God knows that about us is great.
Yeah.
Like, the best of us only have so much time, and the best of us are temporary.
Right.
And so the question is, does that make us insignificant? Right? Which is a hard thing to deal with. And I think so many times, I remember asking you one time, because I was going to do a middle school chapel thing, and you work with kids, and I was asking you, like, what's the felt need of a middle schooler? And you said, they want to be known. And I thought, that's really deep. But what I was thinking was, don't we all?
Right.
Like, we're all to that point where we're like, are we significant? Are we known? And it goes on to say, well, hold on a second. So we're temporary, we're dust. Let me check my notes here. But we're not insignificant. Okay. And one of the reasons we're not insignificant is that our sin is a problem that God had to solve.
Right.
Okay. Because he says it in the verse before all this, which is, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions from us. He had to do something about that.
Right.
So there's something significant about the fact that we have sin. And so that's something, but do I want to be known for that? Right. Our sin is significant, but are we just people that can mess things up?
Yeah.
Are we more than temporarily significant? And so then the next verse comes in.
Yeah.
And the next verse is verse 19. It says, I'm sorry, not verse 19. It's verse 17. It says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. So, here I am, dust, formed from dust, like a flower in the field that is going to wither up and blow away. And yet, from everlasting to everlasting, God has loved me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I am temporary, but his love is longer than that.
Right.
You know? And I have hope that, you know, hope and faith that I'm going to be eternal. You know, he saved me. I'm going to be in heaven forever, all that stuff. But before I existed, from forever before, he loved me. And so there it is. There's my significance right there. He knows that I am just this temporary thing, that I'm limited, that I make mistakes, that I'm going to screw this up, that all that. But from everlasting to everlasting, he's loved me.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing.
Right.
You know, and that just strikes me as all this stuff, all the struggles I'm going through, this is all going to pass and it's all going to be gone. And his love's going to last. I don't last, but his love has and his love will. And so that, I happened to notice this morning in Psalm 40, the way Psalm 40 ends, it says, yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. In the Living Translation, which is like old paraphrase, the paraphrase like before the Message paraphrase.
Okay.
It says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord is thinking about me right now.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that just, I need that in my life.
Right.
You know?
That's cool. This whole, everything you're saying to me is reminding me of that place in Hebrews chapter 4 where it says, For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. And I'm always so grateful for that. And thinking about what you're saying and like thinking about that once that verse specifically in Psalm 103, it says like, for he remembers that we are dust. It's really cool. It feels like there's obviously there's a time gap between the Psalms and when the book of Hebrews is written and the Psalms and when Jesus walked the earth. But it's really cool because, like, the idea of Jesus empathizing with us, not because he sinned, but just because he experienced it. He experienced what it was like to walk around here. And it's just a cool thought to me to, like, warp time and think about how he's outside of it. And knowing that that psalm was written before Jesus was walking the earth, but also knowing that there's a place where he's like, yeah, I get it. Like, I was down there and I experienced that. I didn't do the sin thing. I didn't have that peace, but he, like, there's empathy in there that we are humans and we screw up. And I don't know. I don't even know if that makes sense, but I think it's really cool. I love everything you're saying here.
Yeah. There was something that somebody said to me this week. It may have been Tom. That Jesus, when he became a baby, he made himself dependent upon his own creation. Mm. And I think, like, that level of humility, you know, and that level of understanding, like, he knows what it's like to be hungry.
Right.
And he knows what it's like to be a baby that needs somebody else to take care of them.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So he knows how pitiful I am. And yet he loves me.
Mm. Super cool.
Yeah.
Go to the... Go to what I have.
Yeah, man.
Cool. I'm going to be in Mark 14 if you want to go there, if anybody wants to follow along. I had this bit I was going to do in the last episode, Brad, that I almost did to you as well, which just is so lame. I'm like, in my life, I either like take jokes way too far and I have to apologize, or I just don't go through with them. So I had this idea.
The first part, were you reading my diary? I feel like the first at least 30 years of my life.
There are multiple people who listen to this podcast who I'm in group text with. And I would say, I mean, fairly regularly, I will just have to like separately call or text and say, hey, I'm sorry. that was too far. But I had this idea on the last week's episode to redo Lee's sermon on the show and act like it was all my idea and not even address it.
That's really funny.
But I was going to do it to you as well. I was going to be like, I wonder if Brad was paying attention. Let's see. But no, but I ended up, I'm actually in the exact same chapter, just a little further down. And I don't know if you have this experience or not, but there are certain places in scripture where I know they're coming. I'm reading through whatever. I've been reading through the book of Mark, and there's a place in Mark 14 that every time I know, like, oh, this thing's about to happen. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait for that to shape my day. I can't wait for that to be my thought. Whatever. Like, I just see it coming. And this was coming up. And I was able to, like, convince myself to read it a little bit differently. Or just to, like, I love what you just shared because it was shaped through the lens of what you're walking through with life, which is a really cool thing about our scriptures is you can read something one day and you can read the next day and it just looks a little bit differently, which is awesome. But based on the perspectives of the way you're walking through the world at the time or whatever you're going through. And that was the case with this. I gave myself a little bit of space to say, like, let's look at this a little bit differently. And there's a cool bit that I've talked about this on the show before. It may have been 3 years ago, but I know that I have because it is a thing that I talk about fairly regularly. But we're about to get interrupted.
Yes, we are.
Which is a bummer. I'm gonna have to edit this. Not a bummer, but we're about to get interrupted. But there's a really cool bit right here that I think is that stood out to me a little bit differently. So I'm gonna be in verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.' The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover." Okay, so there's the bit there that I was like, I can't wait for this thing. There's a thing where the disciples ask Jesus a question. Jesus gives them an answer. And then there's the follow-up bit that says, so it was exactly how Jesus said it would be, which I think is really cool. That always like redirects my heart to remember that there are things that the Lord has promised us. There are things that we haven't seen come true yet. That just haven't been yet that he has promised us. There are things in our life that are that case, but we have that thing to rest on. But I was more this time drawn to the disciples in the sense that they came to Jesus with a question. Like they were just like, hey, here's a thing. And I was thinking about that in my life and what that looks like now. Obviously, like, you know, we're not walking into a restaurant and sitting down together and I'm asking Jesus a question, but very often, obviously in prayer, I'm talking to him, asking him questions all the time. And I just had the thought of like, they asked him a question and they got a response and it was probably kind of weird, right? Like, hey, and it's super clear. His answer, go do this thing. You're going to see a guy carrying a water jar on top of his head. And then you're going to follow him and then you're going to go into the house. Like all these things are kind of weird. And they had to just kind of, they were just like, okay, I guess I'm going to do it. Because the other answer is I'm not going to do that. And then we're not going to have this thing happen. But them asking a question of Jesus led to a response they probably wouldn't have drawn up in their own head. Like I imagine, I don't know, I can't speak for them, whoever this was. I would imagine they didn't expect this to go this way. I don't think they probably expected the amount of detail that they got. Maybe I'm wrong, but like in my experience, that's the case. A lot of times my idea of how the Lord is going to answer my prayer is very black and white, especially when it's a question. Something specific like this. Yes or no, this or that, whatever. Like put that however you want to. And Jesus gives them a super detailed answer that required them to do some funky things. And there's multiple cases where that's the case. Like, he says to them, go to the city and you're going to see a colt tied up that's never been ridden. And then just, if the people ask you, tell them it's for the Lord. And that requires a lot of trust because you're kind of stealing somebody's donkey. Or like this one, they're kind of walking in somebody's house. So there's a potential of breaking and entering, right? Like, I don't know what that looked like back then, but like there's a potential that this is really weird and uncomfortable for them. And it's probably not the answer that they drew up. But I love that they just did it and it went the way it was. But I was more so drawn to the fact that they asked a question, they got an answer they weren't probably looking for, and it required them to say, like, whether they consciously looked at each other and said, yes, we are doing this, or just at this point they knew Jesus well enough to say, like, if he says it, we're going to do it, whatever. There's probably a mixture of all that in there. But they did it, and they had to do some funky things, and they had to trust him, and it turned out being really cool. Now, in my life, there are times when I feel like I'm asking the Lord to be this direct and this clear. And that feels like fairly often, right? Like, hey, I would love the play-by-play. Like, what's this step? What's this step? What's this step?
How often does that work out for you?
Not very. Not very. Though sometimes, but I would say less often than not. But there are plenty of times, though, and I don't know if you feel this way or not, where you ask the Lord a question and you get to that part where it went the way he had told them and you realize it. Wait a second. That was it. I can look back on this and I can see there was a thread the whole time of you answering that, which I think is really cool. Anyways, I don't know if you have any thoughts.
Yeah. I just never know where it's going to go.
Right.
Like, I always say, I don't know what God's will is for my life, but
right,
he generally lets me know what the next 5 minutes is going to be.
Yes.
And how I should act. In it. Like, so I don't always know what to do, but I do have a clear indication from God of how I should act
right
in it, you know? And sometimes I feel like that's the more important thing,
right.
I guess. So we're talking about stealing from Lee's sermons.
Right.
Right.
Bring it.
So one thing the last time I took notes in church was he said something about, what we want is sight, but God gives us faith instead.
Yeah.
And what we want is ease, but he gives us help instead.
Right.
And what we want is answers, but he gives us promises instead. And I have to cling to that a little bit because one thing that I'm aware of is like one of the good things that's happening in my life is that God's making me care about people more
right.
as I get older.
Right.
And I love that. Mm. But when you care about people, you also open yourself up for a little more pain,
right.
You know, because empathy comes with feeling things.
Right, right.
but we don't, and that's Christ-like, you know? When Lazarus was dead and he saw all those people crying, he cried with them,
right.
You know? But he doesn't give us the knowledge that he had
right.
all the time. And he also doesn't give us the power to change things that he had all the time. So here we are, and we're just left with, you know, like, what do we do with it? And we have to fall back on faith that he will, that it will all work out just the way he wanted it to.
Right.
You know? And when it's weird and strange what we're asked to do, we do have to just trust him that he has that plan.
Right.
But it's not always easy.
Right. No, and I talked about this a few weeks ago, the idea of macro versus micro, like what Jesus has for us in our life. We all want the macro. We all want the,
it'd
like,
be great to know.
Here it is. Yeah. But we have a ton of micro. Like, we have a ton of the next 5 minutes. Like, how should I act? I love that you said that. How should I act in this moment? You don't have to go far to find the answers to that. Like, no. It's pretty bold and obvious in the scriptures how he wants us to be and act. Anyways, I think that's really cool. Hey, thanks for coming to do this.
I'm happy to.
Brad drove 30 minutes to do this, which I think is really cool. Some people out there are like, that's not far. But
yeah,
I live 3 minutes from this building, so.
That is something I'm jealous of.
Yeah.
At least awesome. On days that I need to be up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you did that. Today's episode of Ancient New is brought to you by Taekwondo. Is that just like I guess just the martial art itself is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to be more specific?
Be more specific.
By Stephen Strauss Taekwondo.
Stephen Strauss
Taekwondo. A member of Taekwondo America.
Wow. He didn't even pay for that ad space.
No, he didn't.
That is amazing.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. You're a black belt, yeah?
No, I'm a red belt.
You're a red belt.
But maybe by next year this time, I'll be a black belt.
How easily could you have me on the ground begging for mercy?
I don't know. Because I'm an old man. Physics still matters.
Physics matter, but I'm a scrawny young man.
I don't know.
That helps me not.
I have to sucker punch you.
Well, please don't ever do that. If you sucker punch me, I've deserved it. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we're getting really dark and off topic.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. My name's Thomas.
I'm Brad.
And this has been Ancient New. You made my heart to know you and to love you, but from the start,
you came, you blessed.
son has set you free. You are free.